Page on FUBAR Radio.
We've got something.
Ooh. Good afternoon, people with ears.
Now, a new sound. Very melodic.
A nice slice of psych.
A good, solid sound.
This is a music show, is it?
Yeah.
The music.
I'm not good at to be cruel.
The instruments.
Just like a giant Twix.
The voices.
Guess what my name is? It's Joey Page.
And it's ready to go.
Wow, you know...
Now, play it.
Thank you.
Welcome everybody to the Joey Page Show. That was Daylight by the very foreboding Blackwater Holy Light. And that is what my hangover feels like today. That's why I've started with that. I mean, I've started with it because it's a really cool, different, quite scary song, but still brilliant. And it is a mirror, though, of how I feel. Welcome to the show. I don't know if you have been looking at my social media. I'm sure you haven't. You've probably got better things to do. But I've literally... I'm like a jet setter today. I've jetted straight in. I've been out in Germany. I was doing a gig last night. And the place that I was doing the gig was a very exclusive... We'll get to the show in a minute. But, I'm going to show off because this doesn't happen 12 page every day, right? I was doing a show in this very exclusive hotel, and it's the kind of place where they have like a rooftop swimming pool, where you can kind of have anything ordered to your room if you're staying there. It's the kind of place where the very, very wealthy or people that have got involved in Bitcoin tend to hang out, right? And the rooms are like quite palatial, very high quality wooden floors, etc. But for some reason, last night, I found myself being allowed to stay in a penthouse suite, albeit with another couple of comedians, but we all had our own rooms. It's $5,000 a night. I've really brought the value of that place down, I can tell you. And with it, I've brought a thunderous big hangover. So this might be one of them kind of shows where you're like, does he know what he's doing? I almost certainly won't. But welcome along. It's going to be quite the ride today. On the show, I've got some cracking guests. I'm really looking forward to chatting to Craig from Flying Vinyl, which is a vinyl delivery service that I always enviously follow on Instagram. And they're always putting up loads of cool records that they send you out in the post. It's like a monthly subscription thing. And I just thought, I reached out to him personally because I was like, let's get him on the show. I'd like to have a chat with him about that. And see how he picks what records he sends out and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's going to be really interesting. I don't think. I know it will be. Also, the fantastic Saltwater Sun are joining us in the studio. And fairly shortly indeed, No Violet, who are a four-piece from Bristol, are going to be coming to talk to me, amongst other things, about the Bristol music scene, about their exciting music. You know what it's like. The show, as usual, is full of really great guests. Really great music. Some stuff you'll have heard, some you won't have done. Other times, I'll just fill the gaps by showing off about things I've been doing. What have you been up to? Here's a little gap for you to say something fun you've done this week. There we go. I hope you managed to boast successfully into your headphones or however you're listening to this. I'm going to be having a little chat with the guests about some little bits and pieces as well that I've got planned, such as, I want to know, this week, I'll be speaking to Craig, I'll be speaking to No Violet and Saltwater Sun. We're doing a bit of a... It's getting to that time of the year when Christmas is coming soon. And if, like me, you're hosting Christmas, not most people are, but I'm hosting Christmas this year. Will's giving me a very worried look through the glass, right? You've got to have a bit of a clear out in preparation for Christmas, of the fridge and of the freezer, right? Specifically the freezer. I want to know what's been in there. What have you got in the back of the freezer that's been there for ages? So we're going to be chatting about that. There's stuff that's been there since I moved in. Like some... Do you reckon mince for spaghetti bolognese is all right if it's been in there over a year? It's been frozen. There's some smoked salmon in there. That was the previous incumbents as well. Let's find out. We're going to see what else people have got in their fridges and freezers. We're doing the fridge and freezer audit on the show today. Plus, we'll be doing the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. And also, David Bowie of the Week and Psych Track of the Week. Which this week, my Psych Track, I don't want to go too early on all the info today. But my Psych Track, someone followed me on Instagram. I looked them up. They've got a musical project. I was like, bang, I'll have a listen to that. It was quite psychedelic. I was like, guess what? That's going straight into... Now, I don't want you all bombarding me, but that's how it works sometimes. You can bombard me if you want. If you're an up-and-coming band and you've got some psychedelic music that you want to be played on the nice slice of psych section of the show, I'm all over Instagram boasting about what I've been up to. But it's time now to get on with the show. Also, I should quickly say, It was really cool to walk around Berlin yesterday day after having that chat with Tim Moore last week, who came in and was telling us about the punks of East Berlin. And I've been walking around like someone who is actually 35, looking at architecture, going, yes, this is very communist, isn't it? So if you missed that interview last week, I wholeheartedly recommend you go back and listen to it and buy Tim's book. But that's the last week. This is this week. Let's have a song, and then we're going to get our first guest in the studio. We're going to be speaking to No Violet on the other side of this. But let's start the show today with... Well, we've already started the show, but since I've been speaking to you, I'm going to play you some new Ezra Furman. This is called In America. You're listening to the Joey Page Show on FUBAR Radio.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, he's not my type. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dive?
I've got the shovel in my boot.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he...
That's Fan Club!
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club. Every Friday, from 12 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
There we go, that's my old mate Nick Helm. He's got a show on here as well, so if you've never heard that before, why don't you give that a listen? It's now time to speak to my first guest of the afternoon, and they looked at me quite frightened when I had told them off air just a second ago that we're going to be ordering the fridge freezers in a minute. Ellie Carey, welcome to the show. No Violet, thanks for coming in to see us.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. So let's start. I always just like to start with a little bit of a general chit-chat. So how are you? What's going on?
Yeah, pretty good. We've just come from Bristol this morning.
Yeah, got the train in up to Big London.
Well, we got the mega bus.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah.
We're not fancy. So.
But I guess, I mean, what an exciting start to this interview for me to say this next sentence. But I bet it's not that bad in the day because there's not so much traffic.
Yeah, it was all right.
Why have I bothered asking you about that? But we're doing it. So, I always like to just get people to sort of tell us the story of No, Violet, how did you guys meet? Like, what's your sort of musical background in terms of, like, what did you grow up listening to? Not, like, have you got a degree or, like, are you a cellist or anything like that?
Are we qualified to do this?
Yeah, are you qualified? So, yeah, give us a bit of, for people that might not have heard your music, give us a little bit of background on it.
Ellie, do you want to go? Because you're okay.
Queen. Started about, well, the project started about maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
With me and guitarist Reese, who is not here today. It's 2 out of 4 of us.
I know how many it is.
And then, yeah, we found Kerry and Pete, drummer and bass player, and...
So how did you meet? Tell me the tale of...
We met at university.
Yeah.
And what was you studying?
We were studying music in sort of different contexts. Okay. Ellie was doing songwriting.
Yeah.
I was actually on the guitar course with Reese. We were in the same class. Yeah. And Pete was a year below doing drums. And we had some classes together.
And where was this? Was this in Bristol?
It's in Bristol. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so Ellie and Reese started jamming together, writing some stuff. I really liked it and kept hassling them for a third guitarist because I really wanted to be in their band. And then
I tried to... So, right, I do stand-up comedy and there's a sketch group and they're all my mates and I really hassled them to let me be the fourth member and they just said no. So, well done, you had more...
I was
more success
very
than I had.
Persistent.
She was determined.
Yeah.
But then I downgraded to bass, but it's all right.
It's not a downgrade. I've told this story many times on the show, but I once got asked to join a band and play bass and I couldn't learn it. It was too hard. So don't tell me it's easy. It's not like, it might be, but it's not for me. So let's start with you, Ellie. Growing up, what was your cup of tea? Because I did read in an interview that, you know, and I feel like probably it was quite tongue-in-cheek, but I've read about some wild accusations of different stuff that you guys have liked from Will Smith on I'm sure that was a bit of a mickey take, but it's one of the only interviews that I've managed to find out there so far, so you know, you've got to be careful what you put out there because it comes back to you. But
yeah,
I'm sure, I mean, it doesn't matter if it is that, I'm not judging you, but growing up, what was you into? Like, what was getting played around your house as a kid, that kind of thing?
Lots of 70s and 80s kind of music. My dad loves the Eagles, so that was always playing. He plays guitar and always covers the Eagles and all that kind of Beatles kind of stuff.
What do you mean he plays guitar? So is it like a family gathering? He'll have one too many and get the guitar out and everyone will go, here we go.
Well, he does.
He does gigs.
He does gigs.
He's a proper dad rock dad.
Yeah. Covers band. But
what are they called? Let's give them a little...
Oh, God. They used to be called the Love Handles.
Okay, that is funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But now I think they're called, like, Rock and Soul, some sort of...
They've sold out, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. The Rock and Soul connection.
Yeah, probably. Probably that. He loves it.
and Kerry, what was going on in your upbringing? What was you into?
Similar to Ellie, really. My dad was a big influence. He's really into the Beatles. And at that time when I was growing up, really into Black Sabbath.
Okay.
So that's been a real influence, like... Tony Iommi was my favourite guitarist for a long
time.
Yeah, and then I just got into the whole grunge side of things.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Got into like Sleater Kinney and mm-hmm. the Riot Girls. And
nice.
Then I went down a metal avenue.
Did you? How long did that last?
2 years. My wardrobe was black, really like Children of Bodom.
Well, my best mate who used to do the show with me, he loves like sort of screamo metal-y, but he's the most mild mannered, like. He's like 40. He looks like
Captain
just a
sensible.
Normal guy, but it's terrifying what's going on in his brain. And so I'm going to jump quite a long way forward to your 2018 EP.
Yes.
How did you even know that it was a possibility to have seafoam green vinyl? I've never seen seafoam green described.
It's so cool. I love it.
They just had lots of colour options and fun names.
Yeah, and also Fender, one of their colours is seafoam green.
Right.
So I've seen lots of guitar. I used to have a jazz master.
See, I've never even heard the term seafoam green, and I was like, oh, this is
a lot.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah, it's like seafoam green.
When you next look at the sea and you look at the waves, you'll see what it means.
Okay.
I guess
it depends on where you are. Not if you're on the... I suppose it's not sea, it's river. It's on the banks of the River Thames, but that's...
Yeah, maybe not.
That's river foam brown.
That's probably an option.
and so tell us about what's coming up for you, like, immediately. What's going on? Where are you at? Like, what... stuff are you working on, that kind of thing, at the moment?
We've just finished a tour with our good friends Clit Drip, who are based in Brighton. So we're having a bit of a breather from that. But we've
was it quite a heavy tour? Your face suggests you a bit of a breather.
Yeah, a lot of driving around, yeah. A lot of fun, and they're an energetic bunch. So, and they brought that out in us.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. But what have we got next? We're doing a support gig for Sir in Cardiff.
French for sister.
26.
Is it?
Sir.
Yeah. Sir.
Sir.
Lots of people say sewer.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I've learned some French, though. Oh, that's great, isn't it? yeah, that's on the 26th of November, so that's like 2 weeks.
Ellie, how do you say it? It's Welsh.
Club Ivo Bach.
Oh, nice.
Just like the Welsh club.
Yes.
Do you have any Welsh heritage? Because you attack that very nicely.
I am a Welsh. Welsh woman.
There we go. Yeah. So that's why. I was never... Because recently I was never going to be reading that out. And it's like, in Cardiff.
That's why I passed it to Ellie. and we've got some music recorded that we're doing some things with, getting some things ready.
When you say things, are you talking like EP singles or something that nobody has ever seen the like of? Because you said things, it's like, what are they doing with it? Are they remixing it? What's going on?
We don't want to give too much away just yet, but we've got some music recorded that's ready to go.
Yeah.
And great.
Making some visuals to go alongside.
Now, before we go any further, we're dealing with fridges, right, on the show. So I don't know. Right, what's the living arrangements? Do you guys live, do you live in a shared house, or do you live separately but in different shared houses, or what's the?
We live separately, actually, only as of July.
Yes. Me and Carrie live together.
Oh, this is so tender and lovely. I feel like I should just go away and let you two have a chat.
Give us a moment, please.
I fell in love with an Italian man and moved in with him and abandoned Ellie.
She left me.
Oh. I wonder if when we hear the new music that is shrouded in mystery, whether I'll pick up any little needle on that of like...
Separation! Maybe.
So, okay. So, Ellie, are you in the same place that Carrie left you from?
No.
No.
We moved... Well, she moved up to St. George in Bristol, and then I ended up moving in St. George as well. So we basically live about 10 minutes from each other.
Right. Yeah, we're very close to each other.
And how many people do you live with?
I live with two people.
Right. So do you have your own shelf, or is it free-for-all, or what's going on in there?
I do. I have taken a shelf.
You've taken a shelf.
People have put their stuff on my shelf. But I've moved it.
Outrageous.
Above or below, or
and what's going on currently on that shelf?
On that shelf, we've got a lot of condiments,
right?
Like mustard,
and they've ended up on your shelf.
No, they're my own.
Oh right, yeah.
Ellie's a condiment gal.
I am. Right, okay. Let's scrap the fridge thing.
We're all condiment people.
I want to do a little condiment top trumps. Right. Tell me the best condiment you've got in the fridge.
Oh, it does change. I reckon...
I've got some... It's like my vinyl player. I've got some rare ones in there.
Oh, no.
As well.
I've got sriracha mayo.
Okay, that is good.
And I've got... Can I say another one?
Yeah.
Ginger marmalade. Because you can cook with it and it makes sweet, like, things sweet and crunchy.
She's made me things with this and it's
like tofu,
game changer.
For instance.
I'm getting really annoyed now because it's better than what I've got. I thought my sauce game was good.
What have you got?
Well, I've got the best thing I would say I've got. I was hoping not to have to pull this out so early, my trump card. But it is, as well, I'm struggling to get through it. I've had it about 2 years because it's a massive bottle. You know, sometimes you go into somewhere like Iceland.
Yeah.
And it's a bottle of Heinz. I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, see, Heinz,
But it's like a Korean ketchup.
Ooh.
And it's got like little kind of bits of garlic seemingly in it, but not like, raw.
Good.
So yeah, it's really good. But I was hoping to save that for a bit later on in my...
What's that good on, like falafel? Like meats?
I like it with chips. I like it with chips, weirdly. But
just keep it simple.
But anything, it's very versatile, Dip a bit of a sausage roll in it. I don't know. So other than the condiments, what else is going in your fridge?
I got tofu. I've got spring onions. I've got fresh ginger.
I mean, this sauce is tailor-made for what you've got in the fridge. I could give you the sauce and you'd have the complete set.
I've got a bit of old dried-out Parmesan.
Okay.
Yeah, that stays at the back of the fridge. I think it got stuck to the back of the fridge.
And like frozen to the back wall.
Yeah, I had to turn the dial down or up. Up? I don't know. But
now, Kerry, recently moved in with an Italian man. Are you trying to impress him? How are you keeping that fridge? Or have you got into like some bad habits? Are you both as bad as each other? What's going on in there?
It's very Italian in there, I have to say. I'd make his mum proud because I recently made something called castagnaccio, which is like a traditional Tuscan chestnut. I want to say cake, but it's not sweet.
Savoury.
It was in there, actually. I'm not sure if it made it a while ago. So it might have gone bad.
But it sounds good though.
Still there. We've got loads of olives and
there's always a jar of olives in your fridge every time I come over.
There always is. Loads of vegetables, green stuff, lots of green stuff.
Sounds like a very accomplished grown-up fridge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
As I've said before, I've been going through my freezer because I've got to make space. I'm hosting Christmas, so it's like this. I've gotten to the stage that my mum used to get to where we go, what's for dinner? And it'd be loads of like weird shit. And I'd be like, why have we got this? It doesn't go together. We're eating up what's in the freezer. I'm getting very close to that point ahead of Christmas. But anyway, that's a nice little window into your lives. And that's kind of the point of this show, is that people can find out about you as musicians, but also as human beings through some bizarre thing that I've concocted. So we'll park the fridge chat. A sort of notable thing that I came across when I was getting into your music and finding out about you guys was that you said the songwriting is driven by long walks in the countryside, candlelit dinners and sexual frustration. Is that another thing that you feel like, oh, I wish that I hadn't said that? Or
I think when we did that interview, because that's the same one where we mentioned Will Smith, I think we'd just been asked the same question over and over again. And
we was like, well, that's it.
We just wanted to mix it up a little bit.
But so tell us, like, how do you work as a band? Like, are you... do you like jam together, or is one of you doing like a certain part and you're all bringing it together? Or
it kind of changes, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like sometimes we'll just like create a little jam and then we're like, oh, I like that, oh, I like that, and then fix it.
Or as you should from this day call it, a little ginger marmalade.
Exactly. And then sometimes like I might write a riff, or someone writes a riff at home and then brings it to the table, and then we're like, all right, let's work on this and
jam it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've written songs from just setting up for band practice.
Right.
And I don't know, me and Pete starting to jam something, and then
Nice.
Everyone just joins in.
And I haven't been to Bristol for a while, but it's got such an incredible music scene. So,
yeah.
Who are you sort of like, who are your cohorts, who are you mates with down that way?
Who'd
you admire, that kind of stuff?
I'd say like Sir.
Yeah, Sir.
Yeah.
There's so many good bands. At the moment. There's Heavy Lungs, Cruelty are great, Poisonous Birds, Dirt.
I can't think of any.
none.
I'd have none. I'm the best.
Twisted Ankle.
But yeah,
it's such
a good scene in terms of
just
like, there's forever something interesting happening, and that must be a really great place for you guys to cut your teeth, and you know, you must be seeing so much different stuff all the time that
it's
really
so
informing what you're doing. Yeah,
as
yeah.
Well. Yeah, it's very, very inspiring, and just such a great community.
Yeah. Support each other as well and give each other
it
gigs.
It does very much see like that, yeah.
Yeah, we recently did a gig in Leeds with some Bristol mates, Memory of Elephants, who are also really good, and Common Spit.
Cool.
Yeah,
so. And it's very much of a... born out of a sort of punky kind of feel as well, a lot of the music down there.
So, definitely.
Yeah.
Punky, grungy vibes.
Yeah. And you guys are right in the centre of that, so it's great stuff. Yeah. Well, we are... sadly, I've kind of run out of time. Maybe I did too much on the fridges, but I think...
it was the condiments.
I think it served it. Yeah. That was a spanner in the works. But no, seriously, it's been so nice having you guys come in, and... I'm really excited by what you're making and see what you do next. Is it going to be a song about a fridge? Who knows? Probably not. But you never know. But we're going to play Lemons.
Cool.
So do you want to tell us anything about it? Want the listeners to know anything about it? Or
maybe just what it's about. So
yeah,
It's about like the anxieties, basically, just like feeling defeated.
Mm-hmm.
From yourself, by yourself.
Yeah, sort of like a lack of control, feeling quite passive in situations where you don't want to be.
Yeah, so you can come across as kind of kind, but really you're just defeated.
Quite a Brexit-inspired song.
Or just general life in the UK most of the time.
That's it.
Oh, well, it's been so lovely to meet you. Thanks so much for coming up to see
us. Thanks for having us.
And, we're going to play Lemons. This is No Violet, and you're listening to The Joe Page Show on FUBAR Radio.
Of the open-minded, I'm not kind, na, 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 na. Na, na, na.
It's difficult to say this without sounding condescending, but you cannot believe that two such nice, amenable people can make such a tremendous racket. There you go. That's fantastic. That's Lemons by No Violet, who have now left the building. So it's now time to do the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. A very special trans-Europe version of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. I've written this on four different modes of transport and now can barely read my own writing in a tiny little notebook that I stole from the place where I did the gig last night. If you've not heard the barometer before, basically it's me going through things that I like, don't like and find confusing, roughly in that order, and then we play the best one and we relegate the worst one. Though, someone's tricked me on this week. Because something I don't like has done something so good that it nearly meant that I had to play Coldplay on the show. Because what they've done should be top of the barometer. They've ruled themselves out of doing Glastonbury. But no, I'm obviously not going to play that. Let's get into the middle, because there's some some bits and pieces that I'm quite confused. Quite a lot of confusing things this week. Not least that Kanye West is officially running for president in 2024. I mean, that's like, you know, sometimes on this section of the show I give a warning. As that gets closer to us, I'm sure I'll have more things to say about that. Could it happen, though? You said that Donald Trump wouldn't get in. Who would wish that Ed Miliband would come back? Things have gotten bad. Who would wish that David Cameron would come back? Things have gotten bad. Who knows where it goes from here? Who's going to be the next Prime Minister? Elton John? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? That would be pretty good. Would it? I don't know. Okay, but that's confusing, and that's in the confusing section, along with the fact there's this man, he's called Clyde Taylor, right? Now, Clyde Taylor is involved in what the police are calling an unprecedented case of nuisance. He will not stop playing on loop Underworld's Born Slippy at 3 a.m. and to the point that they've taken away anything that can amplify music in his house. They've taken his TV away. They've taken amps away. He's still finding a way to do it. And so they've now threatened this guy that if he plays Underworld by Born Slippy by Underworld one more time, he's going to jail. What a fantastic little story. Now, another one that I don't get. It's getting into silly season, right? We're coming up to Christmas. Extinction Rebellion are trying to release a Christmas number one. I'm not going to say anything about that, but I don't see how that helps anything. I know it'll make money, but they've clearly got money because they're paying people to protest, so money's not the problem. Don't get it. Anyway, that's the don't get it section, which is quite big this week on the Barometer. Let's get down the bottom and see what's getting relegated. Pete Doherty has been arrested twice this week for being drunk and then fighting people in Paris. He's been spared jail. It's him and the guy next door playing Underworld. They're sharing a cell. But come on, Pete Doherty, you're 40. Okay, just cut it out. It's not big or clever. You look like an absolute mug. But as ever, there's something worse. Something involving Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl's been on Sesame Street. Could this man get any more pathetic? That's what I'm asking you. I'm going to say no, and therefore, he's relegated from the show. Do you remember when he was like at Glastonbury, when he went, I'm going to see if I can break the record for how many times someone's sworn at Glastonbury. I'll piss off, mate. He's relegated from the show. Now, up the top of the Barometer. Oh, one other thing. Neil Young has been denied a visa or, you know, whatever, citizenship. I think that's what the word I'm looking for. He's been denied citizenship because he smokes too much weed, he reckons. Another weird one. It's so full of weird stories this week. Anyway, up the top, I've got three good things. I can only play one of them on the show. Let's find out who is the winner of the Barometer today. That felt very David Dickinson, the way that I did that. I've been watching too much Dickinson's Real Deals. I'm not going to lie. So, James Wrighton, who I interviewed with Simon Amstel about Simon Amstel's film, and he did the soundtrack. He has got his debut album coming out very soon. And that's as much in here to tell you guys, but also to tell Abby and Will through the glass, book him! But I'm very excited about that. He makes wonderful music, and that's going to be a peach of an album when that comes out, I've got no doubt. Also, two bands that we've had on the show, Local Natives and Cherry Glazer, have been announced as Foles US Tour Support. So isn't that very exciting for the show and everybody involved at FUBAR? We'll get in on that. We'll say that had something to do with us. But the thing that I am going to play, what has won the Barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever this week, the top of the shop, is the band that I went to see on Saturday night. They were on the show 2 weeks ago. They're called Two Tribes. If you remember the interview, they were excellent. I went to see them transform the Shacklewell Arms. And let me tell you, A, it was a really brilliant gig. B, they had loads of the way I'm describing this doesn't sound great, but they had loads of sheets up around the venue with different projections. The sheets is the naff bit. The different projections being projected onto each sheet. So there was like a visual feast going on. Their music was really great. It was so sold out. Yeah? Because it was sold out, but then there was a bit more in there, right? Because I went out to go for a wee, and I couldn't get back in because there was too many people in there. So it was oversold out, and they were really great. They've got a good look about them. They look like something out of the 80s, but from the future. It's very good. And if you've not seen them, then you should go and check them out. And we're going to play a song by them now to crown them the top of the barometer and the champions of today's barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. This is Zone by Two Tribes. After this, I'll be speaking to Craig from Flying Vinyl, and I'm very much looking forward to that. You're listening to The Joey Page Show. It's Wednesday, if you're listening live. Huh?
Hey, we're Temples, and you're listening to The Joey Page Show on FUBAR Radio.
All right, welcome back. That was the top of the barometer of what's good or annoying or whatever. That was the fantastic Two Tribes and Zone, who I went to see on Saturday. I'm now joined in the... Oh, and that was also Temples saying hello on the little... telling you what you're listening to thingy-me-jig that I've got on the computer. And that is very much because I'm going to play some Temples later on. So that's a little whistle wetner for that. Wet your whistle, your appetite for that. That didn't come out how I wanted it to. Never mind. It's now time to welcome to the show someone that I'm very excited to speak to. I am a real admirer of the empire that he's building and the sort of sentiment behind it all. And I'm delighted to have Craig from Flying Vinyl in the studio. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So I said this to you just now because I think you was like looking at me going, why is he looking at me weird? But in my head, you were like a sort of like 45-year-old northern man with a skinhead. That's what I thought.
I'm often likened to a 45-year-old skinhead man. I don't know. I did say to you, how old do you think I am? Maybe I just look younger than I am.
I would say you're probably about my age, about 34, 35.
Yeah, but I'm 33. So
oh, there you go.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Yeah. There you go. But yeah, I thought that, yeah, I don't know why I had this picture in my head. But there you go. And so where do you want to start with this? Because I suppose let's start with why you've created Flying Vinyl. I've already explained earlier on in the show what it is for people that don't know, but basically it's a music subscription service where you send people a monthly subscription of vinyl.
Yeah.
But, yeah, tell us like how it all started and the ins and outs of it a little bit.
Yeah, so people don't know what they're going to get, which I think is quite an interesting idea. So I was working digital marketing in the music industry and was just getting a bit fed up with talking to managers and labels who were only kind of interested about, you know, likes and clicks, and I was trying to work out what all this means in terms of creating people who properly love the bands that we're working
with.
Yeah,
right.
And I was kind of having this moment of frustration where I'd been on a Skype call with a manager and just had the most frustrating conversation about how many likes they had on Facebook. And I was sat listening to Fleetwood Mac, Rumours on vinyl, and just thought, this is the way that that music should be experienced. It just creates a much better connection with between the bands and the fans. So I sort of had this idea, and to be honest, wasn't sure whether it was an idea that most people would think was a really stupid thing to try and launch in the first place, but we kind of put it out there on social media, and lots of people felt the same way, that
yeah,
actually
right.
Digital music isn't necessarily the best mechanism to listen to new bands, and there's a lot of really open-minded people out there who want to hear new stuff.
And also, it's like, you're talking about Fleetwood Mac there, and I know that you deal primarily in 7 inches, but I feel like when an artist puts an album together, that's how they want you to listen to it. They don't want you to listen to like song 4, then song 7, then song 2. They've kind of constructed it as a piece of work.
Yeah, well, also we're at a time now where you could put an album together 100 tracks. You could have hours of music. There's no real limitation, but we're still creating music to the format, to the vinyl format, based on the amount of records and the amount of time that you can fit onto one record. And I think that really says something. I still think it's the format. When bands are in the studio, that's what they're thinking about in their mind.
Yeah,
what it's
going to
sound like on vinyl.
Yeah, right. And so tell us how you pick who you're going to feature and who you're going to send out that month. And do you kind of have a bit of a... I mean, I don't know how it works, but do you have like a big waiting list of like, I wanted to put that one in this month, but maybe I'll have to wait till that month. Or like, how are you choosing stuff?
Yeah, we do have to juggle things around sometimes. Generally, just on musical merit, we've always just really been like, we're going to select what goes out entirely based on the music. We obviously get pitched a lot of stuff by labels, and all we've really cared about is what comes out of the speakers at the end of the day. And I think that's what's kind of connecting with people, is it's not necessarily stuff that you're going to see everywhere else or know about, but it's good music. We can guarantee you that.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet. And tell us a bit about the festivals that you've done as well.
Yeah, we did 2 festivals. So it started off that we were kind of having a conversation about doing something in the live space to sort of celebrate the company after kind of the first year. And it started off with, we'll do like a 300 cap show or something. And by the end of it, it dwarfed into like, let's do a 1-day festival.
Nice.
For 10 bands and 1,000 cap audience kind of thing.
To me, that feels like an absolute nightmare trying to put on a festival though.
Honestly, it was the worst day of my life. I was the only person in that entire venue, I think, who didn't have a good time. It was very stressful. Like the second year, because once you've done something once, you feel really confident with it. But the first year, it was so scary. He's got all these people and all this expectation, and having to sort of manage that amount of bands and equipment and problems and your phone's constantly ringing in your pocket, it is really stressful actually. But it went off really well, and we did it one a second year as well at Oval Space in Hackney as well.
Oh cool, yeah, I love Oval Space.
It's a great venue, yeah.
And it's so close to where I live. I don't think that's why I like it. I like it being by the gas box, by the gasworks. But
yeah,
it is stumbling distance.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you about, like, is there anybody who you, like, they're out of your remit for a certain reason? Like, do certain management teams or record labels go, no, you can't do that without, how does it, like, is there any ramifications to what you're allowed to choose?
The good thing, I think, about what we did is when we first started and we first started constructing a deal, we had the artists in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the fairest deal in the world for artists. It's a really good deal for them, especially when you put it up against streaming and things like that. So whenever we've kind of got pushback, it's always been from things like the first time we worked with a major label, they're immediately like, well, we don't really like this concept because we don't really understand it.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you sit down and go through it and you show them the benefits of it, look, we're going to expose your music to this amount of people, you're going to get a load of free product for your band as well, it's going to be on the format and you're not going to have to finance anything, our community is going to finance everything, It's kind of a no-brainer. So we've been able to work with people at all different levels. And for me, I've always said, like, the ultimate box is sort of like two or three artists that were in their garage sort of a few months ago, and then a couple that are maybe on big indies or major deals or whatever, who are probably a bit more well known.
And you get 5 a month.
Yep.
Right? And also the info booklet on an artist, and then also there's like exclusive things that get thrown in from time to time as well.
Yeah, we can do bits, yeah.
Do you remember what the first one was?
Yeah.
Do you remember, can you tell me who was in your first box?
So the big one was the Amazons, actually.
Yeah, right.
So we were, again, with those guys, they were just so new. That was their first single. I think we're just about to sign to Fiction at that point.
Right.
And it's kind of been really amazing that they were literally the first band that we pressed, the first one that came back to us. And they've kind of made this big leap forward.
I've had them in here as well. Like, a lot of people on your list, like Sports Team, Blood Red Shoes, Hotel Lux. We've had all those guys come into the studio at some point.
I did have a listen to some of your other shows actually, and online, and I'm
sorry about that.
There's like Yonica and Van a while ago. Argo. I mean, so much crossover.
But like, I feel like, and this is why I sort of reached out to you in the first place, 'cause I feel like you're doing something very similar in terms of like, nobody really, well, not even really, no one says, oh, you've got to play this or you can't play that. Yeah. So, and there's very few platforms where you're allowed to do that, and you're doing that. And so I was just like, yeah, I've always been really interested in that.
Yeah,
definitely. On Instagram, just going, oh, yeah.
Isn't it nice? Do you feel as well when you've interviewed bands at a particular stage where a year later you've seen that big progression that's happened just
to be
100%. A part of that kind of story as well?
And just because, like, most people, as I'm sure you know, aren't really nice. So it's like, you go, oh, I'm really pleased with them because they're nice.
Yeah.
And so, but I know that there was a blog piece on your website about the charts being broken, and I'm playing them in a bit. I met up with Adam from Temples the other day, and he was kind of saying the same thing. And this is like a real good way to take, not back the power, but do you know what I mean? It's not the be all and end all, is like how high up did, I think with a lot of guitar music, it's really suffering to get high up in the charts, but that doesn't mean that they're selling any less amount of records than they were in previous years. But
we also do really well as a genre in vinyl. If you look at things like grime, you look at the streaming figures, I mean, it is incredible. You've got artists that aren't even that big in grime, you've got 35 million plays.
Yeah,
like,
it's
nothing. Some of our biggest artists in indie music just don't have that.
Yeah.
But what we do have when it comes album time and things like that is a physical format that people will buy.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that does count well towards chart as well. And you'd be surprised how much physical music actually makes up people's chart positions. When you see people getting top 20s in indie music, it's not because of streaming, it's normally always down to the physical sales as well.
And have you had any backlash? Like, do you ever get anybody going,
totally, every other
why
day?
Why are you sending us this? Or like, why do you think that's good?
Oh, not from our customers.
But I mean, do you ever get anybody go, like, because obviously the decision sits with you of what you send out. Do you ever get anyone tweet you or whatever going, sorry, why do you...
Actually, no. Like, I think I think people, when they sign up really
open-minded.
Like, you're probably not going to like every single thing that we send you. Mm. But that's the point. The point is we're going to send you lots of different things, and there's going to be stuff that just completely jumps off the page as well. In terms of, like the whole social media thing's always been weird.
Right.
We do get a lot of, like, it's quite a Marmite concept. If you're, like, a real... You tend to find with some of the older guys who, for them, it's, like, the only place to buy vinyl is in a record shop.
Yeah.
They see the concept, and they just immediately go to, like, fucking hipsters, like... You know, it's like that kind of thing, and that can be tough. But I don't know. I think you just have to concentrate on the people who you know are your customer,
sure.
Your community, and that. And we've just always said, all we really care about is putting out music that when people listen to it, it's just gonna jump out at them. It's not just gonna sit in that kind of grey area of music that just kind of gets lost in the ether.
And how much is the artwork a factor of what you pick? Like, well, sometimes it'd be like, well, all of these are great, but for me, that's really eye catching, so I'm going for that over that. Or
everything starts with the music, mm-hmm. and then we work with the artwork. We don't try and control the creative process in any way. We've always said we're kind of a mechanism. So once
but I mean, like, when someone sends you something,
Do we select if the artwork's really great?
As in, because if you can't choose between two things or whatever.
We normally find space if we need, if something's worth putting out. But it is amazing how some bands, they care so much about the artwork.
Yeah,
and some
right.
bands are just like, yeah, just use that. Or like, oh yeah, we've got this picture of ourselves if you want to use that kind of thing. We always try and encourage them, like, that whole kind of like interaction that you have with a product is just so important, and we don't want that to get lost as well, you know. And again, with things like streaming, it's just become like a little tiny icon graphic, so people probably don't care as much as when you're saying, look, you're going to have this incredible physical thing that's going to sit on people's shelves forever. You want to make it look really good.
But for me, it's like when I go and buy someone's record, it's like a little extra sort of present, because you don't know what the artwork's going to be. Even if you've seen the front cover, when you open it up, there's something really cool inside. It's like, oh, it's just like, keeps getting cooler and cooler, and you're like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, one I was thinking about recently was I got Ty Segall's latest album.
Oh, cool.
And when I bought it, I had no idea that it's like a, it like opens out like a sort of set of doors, the front of it.
Oh,
and you're
really?
Like, oh, just when people go to that effort of giving you a little extra surprise in there, I think it's amazing. And they are like works of art quite often. And
that was one of the things when we packaged. Actually, I bought a box set for you as well.
Oh, bless you.
One of the things that we always said is that you should have that experience where it starts from the minute you open the thing.
Right.
It should feel exactly like that experience you just described, where you don't really know what's going to happen, and you sort of open this thing and these bits kind of come out and everything's been really well designed.
Oh, well, bless you. Well, we'll do it live. I'm going to do that in a second.
Unboxing,
but
pressure.
I should say, you know, it's at the moment, it's getting to that time of year where even if you think, well, I don't even have a vinyl player or whatever, like, this is a perfect Christmas present. You can
definitely, it's a gift,
set it up as a gift
as well.
For people. Yeah, exactly.
When you're really morbid, it's like, and horrible in January, then got vinyl coming every month.
Exactly, and it's like the super size version of getting like a magazine subscription.
Yeah.
But you get music, like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a cool thing that you're doing. Nice. So you very kindly brought me one, so I'm going to open it and we'll go through it. Are you happy for us to do that? First of all, it's got a great pull-off strip.
Tetra,
like, you're opening something quite exclusive, so I'm very, very pleased about that. So let's have a look at what's inside. The Revolution Will Not Be Digital, with Bob Marley on the front as a sort of folder that holds them all together.
We actually recently, our product got banned from China briefly by the... whatever their culture ministry is, because we had the revolution written on the front of the box. They didn't like that.
Oh.
It's music, and it hasn't been vetted by the Chinese authorities.
So then, is that why there's like a double... This is on the... Oh, is it on there as well?
It's on there
as
well.
Yeah, right. So...
Yeah. So we had a load of product that was returned to us, and we had to...
Oh, that's a nightmare.
I know.
Did you just like recover it and send it out?
Yeah.
Or,
But...
I mean, I would say they're so weird, but I don't really know what I'm talking
about.
It's crazy,
isn't it? It's not like revolution against the government, but hey, these things happen.
So let's have a little look at what we've got inside. So there's the little book that tells you about the artist, which I'm not actually going to look at yet because it will spoil the surprise of what's in the box. But we have got Interlude for the Borderline.
Calva Louise EP,
who have been on the show twice, and their artwork is always very stunning. It's sort of like collage-y outer space business, and that's exactly what's going on here. So, already a winner, and I like these guys. They've been on the show. They're a lot of fun, and their music is really different to anybody else's. So that is a great start coming straight out of the box. Then we have got...
So this is Tarek from Sprinking.
Oh, okay.
So he's now, I mean, he's been doing a lot of production work. We've worked him with so many records that he's produced. And he's now just started this new project called Dead Nature. So this is the first release from that.
Nice. That's something that I've got no idea about. So I'm very excited
definitely
to get something.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we've got Nova Cub, I Still Need It, and Strike. And that is a beautifully luminous see-through pink 7-inch.
When you were saying about bands that like really sort of
care about the
artwork,
yeah.
You can just tell like yeah. They're one of those bands.
Yeah.
It's a great record, that.
I mean, this is so exciting. Thank you so much for bringing this in for me.
Yeah,
it feels
no
like
worries.
A little nice Christmas day going on here. Something Leather, Lullaby. Now, that's another one I don't know very much about. What can you tell
me
about
this?
Yeah,
London band. They've got this kind of very sort of foreboding... it fit well with the David Lynch film.
Okay.
That kind
well,
of
that thing. Sounds like something yeah. I'm going to be very much into. So far, it's all winners. And then, what have you got here in this unmarked...
Tyler. Does that come out the... Yeah, it's come out the sleeve.
Oh, it's come out the sleeve. I was going to say. Yeah.
That'd be good, isn't it? Wouldn't it, if I've given you one with a duff sleeve?
Oh, no. But also, imagine if that was... You're saying some people don't care. I was like, yeah, this one. Yeah. And so what can you tell me about Tyler? Another, it really showed me up here today. There's a couple in there I don't know.
So Tyler...
Anything about?
Actually, I think they're from London as well. I saw them at a show in Hackney, so probably just down the road from where you live, actually, just a few months ago, and I'd never heard of them either. But they were great. They just went on stage. Their performance was fantastic. And yeah, we just kind of decided to kind of work with them on the next single.
I mean, the picture on the front is amazing. I guess it's the lead singer, I'm guessing.
Yep.
And she's in a red dress and she's in the sea.
Yeah, it must have been cold.
Yeah, it must have been really cold. But it's a great image. So, I'm definitely going to play some of this stuff next week, some of the stuff that
cool.
I don't know about. I will, whatever I like, I'm going to play on the show. Thank you so much. That's really amazing.
Yeah, no problem.
Of you to bring that in for me. And... Yeah, oh, I can't wait to go home now. No offence to this chat that we're having. Now, before I let you go, I've also been talking on the show today a little bit about fridges, right? Because it's getting
Why
close to Christmas. Well, because I've got to basically clear out my freezer so that I can get everything in, because I'm hosting Christmas Day this year, right?
Nightmare.
Yeah, but I'm having a bit of a clear out of the fridge, a bit of a nightmare. So
right.
I'm asking all my guests about this today. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in your fridge. Where do you live? Do you live in a shared house? You've got your own place?
No, I live in Milton Keynes, so just outside of London, actually. Yeah, so...
But who are you sharing the fridge with?
My girlfriend.
Your girlfriend, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Just the two of you?
I'm just very aware she's listening right now.
That's
as well.
All right. Is it messy?
No, well, it's messy when I'm in charge of it.
Okay.
That's a problem. We're trying to follow a vegan diet currently, which makes me sound like a total hipster. But
don't worry about that in here.
Yeah. So there's like a sort of mass of soy milk and corn products and
right,
things like
yeah.
that. Generally, it's not a very rock and roll fridge.
I don't need it to be. I'm more like, is it one of the ones where there's something horrible lurking in the back?
Definitely. There's always like that bag of herbs that you used a tiny bit of.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it's rotting in the back of the fridge.
They need to do some sort of club where herbs get sent around, not just for you, but for you and your neighbours, because nobody ever uses the whole thing of herbs.
Split between four or five people.
Yeah, exactly. So, flying vinyl wise,
yeah.
Just let's make sure that everybody that's interested knows all the stuff about it. So, Instagram, where can people find you?
At flying_vinyl.
Cool. And you've picked a song that we're going to play in a minute, so I'll ask you why
yep.
you picked that one specifically. But what's in the pipeline, or do you not want to say, like, if there's one thing that you're particularly working on?
We try not to go too like
you...
mad on announcing everything, but I think there's a couple of bands that we're really excited about. We've got Lucia coming in November
nice.
From Scotland. We've done a record with those guys before, and we're putting out their new record. Future Heads, who are returning music. So, we've got them coming in November.
I was really hoping to go to the... They're doing like a Christmas... Well, it's show, but I can't go, but all my friends are going. I'm really gutted that I'm not going to that.
And then Catholic Action's another one as well, which actually is a Glasgow band as well, I think. So that's some of the stuff we've got coming up at the minute.
Nice. And just sort of finally, as it's grown... from when you started in 2015, like what surprised you the most about it in terms of like stuff that you've been able to do, or is there some like really cool experience that you've had where you're like, well, I never thought that it would get to this?
I still think the festivals are always like a weird visual manifestation of everything, because so much is done on computers and so much is not actually visual. When you've got all those people in a room and you've got huge mosh pits and you've got the bands on stage, I remember the first year festival, especially this huge banner we had on the back of the stage with our logo on. Just remember thinking, design that in my bedroom after a few beers.
Yeah, right.
Like, and now it's this thing, and there's all these people who know about it and are going crazy in this venue and stuff. It's quite a weird experience. So I always find that pretty amazing. And just, I think when people know about what you're doing and are just appreciative of what you're doing, I think that's always cool as well. Like when I say about, you know, every now and again you get snarks on social media and stuff, for the most part you get so many people come up and sort of say thank you for kind of making this thing work, because it's one of the few occasions I think in music where the customer gets something really amazing, the music industry benefits, and we obviously as a company get the company. So
Of course
it's a really good thing, I think.
Yeah, it's like nice to have like a positive business.
Not many of them in music.
No. I mean, thank you so much for coming in, because it's been a pleasure to find out more about it, but also just a big fan of the idea and just think it's brilliant.
Thanks.
I'm so thrilled that you could come in today, and just sorry you don't look like a 45-year-old northern bald man that I'd invented.
I'll have to come back in 10 years' time.
We asked you to pick a song for us to play.
Yeah.
So normally we play the music of the bands. Have you ever been in a band?
God, no. No. You wouldn't want me in a band.
No, me neither. But tell us about what you've chosen to play.
So I've chosen a band called Fur, who we started working with last year. I think for me, they're a really good example of how far really good music can go if it just hits at the right time, and we were lucky enough to press this single just before it kind of went a bit mad, and I think they're over in Japan at the moment touring. We thought this would kind of be a good example of what we do.
Well, I'm just gonna bring it up. It's called If You Know That I'm Lonely by Fur.
Yep.
We're going to give that a little spin, or not a spin. I'm going to press a button. It's all digital. You'd hate that.
You'd get your turntable in here.
It's a CD. Oh, there's a CD changer
CDJ.
Over there. Seriously, man, so much of a pleasure to meet you. And thanks for coming in. It's
thanks
been amazing.
Thanks so much for having me. Cheers.
And thank you so much for the records.
Enjoy
as well. I can't wait to go home and play them. This is Fur, and If You Know That I'm Lonely. You're listening to Joey Page on Fubar Radio.
Close my eyes and I feel like I'm not even in my life, and I never wanna leave as I see myself running out of time. Mistake after mistake, it's safer if I distance myself, if there's a way for me to not do what I have done for so long. Don't be sorry. Couple of down days, it's like you're stealing what I had for a while and using it yourself. In my mind, I see what I wanna see, and if it goes wrong, I think I'll never be the same, but I know. You know me well enough to understand.
lovely little ditty that was, wasn't it? That's Fur, and if you know that I'm lonely, that is Craig from Flowing Vinyl's choice of something that he had in one of the previous boxes of vinyls. And if you would like to get your hands on some Flying Vinyl, it's £23.37 a month with free delivery. Revenue goes back into the pockets of the artists. You get 5 7-inch records every single month, with a little artist info booklet, and sometimes some extra little treats thrown in there as well. And it's just a beautiful little package to receive. That song kind of sums up how I feel after receiving that. Just really like nice and light and lovely. So if you want to join me in that feeling, then you can go and get yourselves one of them. Or, I don't know, maybe you know somebody that would like that as a little Christmas present. And, you know, I know it's like a monthly thing, but maybe you go, hey, I've bought you 2 or 3 months' worth. After that, like, I can't pay for you forever, but here's 2 or 3 months' worth. And then they take it on, and you just get them started. And then maybe they'll take you to see some of the bands that they find in there, and your lives won't be dull and boring anymore. How about that? Right, so soon we are going to do Psych Track. Nice slice of Psych, that's coming up on the show. But first of all, before I went to Berlin, I went a little shopping trip with my new friend Adam from Temples. So I'm going to play some Temples because they are about to go on tour. Me and him went to buy suits, but I didn't buy a suit, neither did he, and we ended up in the pub. I've really got to cut this out. I've got to stop going out and living the high life. Concentrate on this. But Temples, they are doing the Comedia in Brighton on the 2nd of December. They are doing the Riverside in Newcastle on the 4th of December. They're doing Rescue Rooms in Nottingham on the 6th. 7th, they're in the Engine Rooms in Southampton. And 8th of December, Shepherd's Bush Empire, huge show. If you're around, go and get yourself some tickets. Their new album is absolutely amazing. And here is a track that is one of my favourites at the moment that I've plumped for your pleasure. And maybe this will entice you along to see them live. And if you've not seen them, I've seen them a couple of times. They're really brilliant live. So here we go. This is Atomized by Temples. Listen to Joey Page on Fubar Radio. After this, we will be doing the Nice Slice of Psych.
We'll be right back.
go. How amazing is that? That sounds something completely unexpected, I think, coming out of Temples, but still managing to sound so much like them, which I think is a really good sign of someone at the top of their game. That's Temples from their third album, Hot Motion, and that's out now. And also, don't forget that I interviewed them fairly recently, and on the YouTube and Instagram TV, you can see when I had a chat with them on the day that their album came out at the end of September. So if you've not seen that, go and have a look at it, if you like. Right, it's time for this. Before we get our next guest in the studio, it's time for a nice slice of psych.
Good morning. What would you like to order?
A Welsh rabbit with a poached egg on top, please. Not too runny. Scones, butter, cream, jam. What else?
A nice slice of psych. That's right. It's a nice slice of psych with me, Joey Page. Who else? Now, I love the way that the music industry works at the moment, right? Because who I'm playing today, and this is very much in keeping with the chat that I just had with Craig, right? This guy, he followed me on Instagram. I checked him out. He's got a band. I listened to his band. They're based over in California. Yeah. Through Instagram and the connectivity of the internet, I can now bring someone that we never would have known about straight to you. And I'm doing that for you for free, by the way, yeah? You don't have to pay a penny. All you have to do is keep listening to the show and keep bringing you stuff. Is that a deal? I'm not going to give you a chance to say no. Of course it is. So today's psych track is... They're just called Spirit Navigators, and this song is called Cosmic Cactus Z. I'm saying Z because they're American. I would have said Z, but I think they would have intended it as a Z. They're a band dedicated to developing an unprecedented sound, combining elements of both psychedelic rock, electronica, and funk. This is a standalone single that was released in February of this year, and they have got loads of music coming out. I think there's an album, I seem to remember, maybe coming out as soon as next week, but I don't know if that is Spirit Navigators or if that's a different project. But if you go on to the internet and look up Spirit Navigators, if you like this, then you'll be able to find them. But I reckon I'm going to be bold and say no one else is playing this kind of stuff. If you like me unearthing things for you, this is the place to be. This is Cosmic Cactus Z by Spirit Navigators. It's a nice slice of psych for today, the 13th of November 2019 at 15:21 p.m.
We'll be right back. Foobar Radio presents
Callum McSwiggin.
I am now joined by the absolutely amazing guys from Drag Syndrome, Parora Shebang.
Hello.
The incredible Justin Bond.
Oh, what's that?
And the lovely Daniel Weiss.
Weiss.
Me and Daniel, we went to that festival. There was one security guard. You can't leave him there. He's Down syndrome.
Somebody said that to you?
Yeah. What's that festival called?
Wilderness Festival.
Yeah, that's the one. You can't leave that Down syndrome here. And the people from the toilets, we're not going to let you in because we got Down syndrome.
We don't deserve to be treated like that. I know we have our ways, but it doesn't matter if it's that bad because this is what we do for a living. I mean, if you think that's bad for us, then you've got to stop what you're doing and talk about what we do best.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggin.
From 6 p.m. Foobar Radio.
Oh. Full disclosure, I basically, in that last little link, ran as fast as I could to the toilet. So if I sound out of breath, I am. I told you it was the shambles show today, and it very much is. But that is coming to sort of like nice conclusion because I'm welcoming back a band into the studio that I'm going to ask you in a second when I've done the introduction if it was before or after I had a moustache. Did I have a moustache last time you was here?
No. The moustache is new.
The moustache is new, but it's quite old. So that must mean about 2 years ago or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe a year and a half, 18 months.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. So, but anyway, Joel, Jen, welcome back to the studio. How are things? Saltwater Sun with me, they're here, and they're basically going to nurse me through the next half an hour of the show.
Ooh.
Because, I've got to that point where it's, you know, the adrenaline of starting the show has died away, and now I'm feeling pretty ropey. So, it's over to you two now, if that's okay.
Yeah, sick.
Cool. No, how are you both?
We're all right, I think.
Yeah, good. Yeah, very well.
Yeah.
There
you go.
So what's new? Obviously, for me, the moustache, but it's not. But I've had it. I grew it for my stag do and then liked it and kept it, basically.
Fair play. It's keep you warm in the winter.
Yeah.
Does that do that?
I don't know. Mm. People keep going, this is November. I go, no. It should be the only month I should shave it off.
Really. Well, I can't grow a moustache, so... I'm a bit jealous.
Yeah, I probably could if I gave it a good go.
But you're a lot younger than me, I'd wager, so I couldn't probably do anything.
I'm not sure.
Can I ask you how old you are, Joel?
Yeah.
How old are you?
29.
Oh, yeah, you look younger than that.
Yeah.
Like a baby
and it doesn't help, that I can't grow any facial hair at all.
Yeah,
29.
But I can't grow anything else.
Just
but this.
Attached.
And like, bits of it are like white and yellow and.
Bad.
It's like an old granddad's one. I do feel a bit like
Joseph from... and the Technicolor moustache.
Yeah, or monochrome. Colour, I don't know. So that's what's new for me since I last saw you. What's going on with you two? Tell me what's been happening in the last year and a half.
Well, we've been playing a lot of festivals this summer.
Uh-huh.
We released an EP at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, off the back of a couple of singles, and finished. That sort of rounded off the year by releasing one more single, Mouth Breather,
which
was out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I've got some, because I know that it's born out of a list of things or types of people or whatever that have annoyed you. So we're gonna come to that. I want to see if anything has been added to the list that I've currently got.
Okay, and then
we'll see. But we'll come to that in a minute.
Oh, there's always stuff.
it's good to have a little rant though, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And you had, which I sorely missed, a show at Old Blue Last about a month ago as well.
We did.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It was at the end of September. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Oh,
no, it was
end of October.
Was it end of October? Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could easily be me that's got it wrong, so I'm just like, oh, no, God, I've got that wrong.
It was 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Busy. For a wet Thursday, not bad.
Mm. Not bad. And so... And you're working on some stuff for, like, next year, right?
Yeah, because we did lots of festivals and stuff this summer, we're kind of buckling down and doing some writing now. So we've hopefully going back into the studio next month.
So what does that entail for you guys, buckling down? Like, do you...
Getting everyone in the same room is a good start. Everyone's
who's in charge of, like, organising this?
Oh.
You, Jen, or no
probably,
one?
Well, like, sort of a fashion, but...
What, organising the band practice?
Like, just who's in charge of, like, making sure stuff gets done? Who's the...
We probably do it together.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Dan chips in.
Oh, yeah, does he? Yeah, are you sure? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Fine. We usually just tell them where to be and then hope for the best.
And so how does it, like, take shape? Do you just go, right, we're going to do, like, a three-hour session next week? Or do you just go, right, clear the diary for a week? Or, like, how does it work in terms of...
Generally, we do, yeah, we book out, like, three to four hours at a time. And, yeah, just write for the entire session that we're in there. Sometimes it's productive, sometimes it's not productive, but that's sort of like part of it, isn't
it? But what does that mean for you in terms of, like, do you have a way that you start trying to make a song as a band?
It's usually Dan, isn't it? Yeah. Like, Dan has a chord progression or like a riff or something, and he'll just jam it out, and then everyone else piles in round it. I usually sing some gibberish over the top. Because I don't have lyrics yet. Yeah. So it's just like,
and pretty quickly we get an idea if there's something in there.
I was going to say, don't do yourself that. I thought you was like...
lyrics are gibberish.
The lyrics come later. It's gibberish for a long time.
back in the day, like when we first started out, I even did a couple... Because my diction's really bad, so no one knows what I'm saying anyway. Yeah. So we did a couple of gigs where I was like just singing pure nonsense, like Sandra
and
Lyrics.
Yeah.
a lot of bands, though, like quite successful people, like you look at people like Damon Albarn or like Iggy Pop, and you read interviews, like, what's that about? He's like, oh, just when the music's on, I just start saying stuff and see.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
Bowie used to like cut bits of newspapers up, didn't he? I haven't got time to use scissors.
Oh, yeah.
Nor can I be trusted.
Any physical media for you young people, just forget it. It's not a phone. Another thing I want to ask you about. Today we're talking about fridges and freezers for some... Well, I do know why, because I'm clearing mine out. I've said it like twice on the show.
How much stuff have you got in there?
But it's just like, you know, you buy some fish... Like you'll buy like some breaded fillet.
Sure.
There'd be like a pack of four. You never want four.
No.
You might eat one or two, and you think, oh, I'll have another one.
Isn't that
tomorrow.
What freezers are for?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But the freezer now
it stays
needs
there forever.
It's all in there, and with Christmas coming, I'm hosting, so I've got to clear out. I've got to restock, and there's a lot of stuff going on in there. Like I was saying earlier, there's
breaded
there's
fish for Christmas.
Just cook
breaded
it all.
Fish for Christmas. I know, but the.
Cook it all.
So
I used
mix.
To dread that. It used to happen in my family home. Like my mum would be like, "We're having whatever's in the
the dregs."
Yeah, I hate that day. So like, how have I become that monster?
My mum made us tagliatelle, like this green spinach one, and put yogurt on it while it was still warm, and it curdled. Oh. And me and my sister cried, and she was like, "Eat it or go to bed." And we just both went to bed because we were like, "Nah."
I think I'd have chosen bed as well.
Yeah, I was just like, looks like a brain.
Yeah, me too. But I'm one of these people, when I cook, I always cook way too much, and I think, yeah, I love that for weeks, and after about day two, I'm like, sick of this.
Ever again.
And so then I freeze it, and then it never comes back out. I've got loads of tubs of, like, I don't know what
it is.
And there's a curry.
And if you don't label it, you never know.
Game over.
So I want to know what your sort of fridge and freezer situation is like.
My freezer's empty. I don't have anything in the freezer at the moment.
It's cooking fresh.
Actually, no, I lie. I got some frozen edamame beans. That's it.
You've just frozen some or you bought them
I bought some frozen ones.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
No.
That's the only ones I can find. Frozen ones.
Where?
In Sainsbury's.
Saying Iceland, that makes sense.
I've got frozen avocado.
Is this a big Sainsbury's? Mine's got nothing. The Sainsbury's, they wouldn't have nothing like that.
How big?
They've got chips in the freezer.
It's a big one, yeah. But
we're covering all the hot topics. How big is your Sainsbury's? That's next week. How big is Sainsbury's? Abby's just rolling her eyes at me through the glass.
We've got Europe's biggest Tesco in Slough. So
this is the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
Is that? Do they still hold that title?
Yeah, confirmed.
Oh, okay.
It's a hot spot.
Because that was about 15 years ago.
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah, even bigger than the one in Hull.
I haven't been to Hull.
Oh, it's
but
huge.
This is
absolutely huge.
I think Slough trumps
Hull. The second claim to fame after The Office is the Tesco.
Okay.
We're number three. No,
next
really.
Time I'm gigging in Slough, I'm going in that Tesco. Yeah.
When you gig it, where in Slough do you gig?
I don't, but
yeah,
next
exactly.
time I am.
The Chasers.
I don't know.
Slough Tandoori. That's where they used to play gigs, didn't you?
I've never played a gig there.
Dan
used to play a gig at Slough Tandoori, yeah.
I didn't know there was a music circuit in the Tandoori restaurant.
Tandoori tour, 2003.
Yeah, we were going to do a slug and lettuce tour, weren't we, at one point?
All your gear would like smell of madras by 6 months.
You'd be well fed though.
Yeah,
you would.
You're right.
Well, maybe we should set it on the. So, not that I'm letting you go anywhere yet, but let's talk about this because it's one of my points that I want to cover. Is this idea of the new song Mouth Breather being a monumental rant about all the people that annoy you? And on this list that I've got in front of me, you've got mansplainers, drivers, and loud chewers. Now, I don't think she's listening to the show, right? In fact, I'm almost certain she isn't.
But she's not wearing headphones.
My flatmate and my wife's sister, they're the same person. She's a very, very, right? She's a very, very clever, astute person. Like, she's an architect. She did a maths degree, basically, for fun, recently.
Okay.
But she chews with her mouth open.
No. Mm.
How can that be?
Cancelled.
But no one's told her, and it's like...
How do you tell someone they're disgusting, though?
You can just tell them, surely.
I mean, I tell my mum all the time. I'm like, mum.
I think you're close enough.
It's like a cat.
You're close enough that you could tell her.
I've been there too long now.
Oh, you've let it go.
You've let it slide.
Because if you tell her now, she'll know.
Because I was waiting to talk to my wife about it. And then, obviously, I forgot. And then, like, the next time you think, oh, I've got to still bring that up. And now, all of a sudden, you've been there 2 months. And it's like, well, if you didn't stamp it out in the first...
Yeah.
I reckon...
First week.
I reckon at Christmas when you're, like, drunk and it's festive, you can just be like, by the way... Shut your mouth.
I might try and get my dad to do it Christmas
mind?
Day. It'd be the lamest version
you
of
could,
EastEnders.
Like, do it as like a cracker joke, and like the punchline is chew with your mouth shut. You could just be like,
you could just lean over and shut her mouth for her.
Yeah, you could do that.
Just gently caress the chin.
Joel's, yeah, lovely.
Close it.
Yeah, but
it sucks.
It'll be. I think I'll just leave it to my dad Christmas Day.
They've
not eaten together, so okay. I'm hoping, and he would say something.
Is he like Larry?
Like a really shit, lame version of EastEnders, like tear up on Christmas Day. Started there.
As you say, is he like Larry David? Is he like Larry David? So like he'll just say stuff. You put him in a social situation, and he'll just call her out on it straight away.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like a sort of East End version. Menacing version. When he wants to be like
Archie Mitchell.
My friend Kishore was coming to a party at my house. My dad had gone to the station to pick someone up, and he drove past him. And instead of offering him a lift back to ours, he went on the window and he went, "Hey, Kishore." He went, "All right, Mick." He went, "I want a word with you," and you get round mine. And then just drove off.
No.
He didn't, but I just had to wind him up. And that's the kind of
the anxiety and the shame of having to walk.
Like. So, but anyway, bad drivers, mansplainers, loud chewers. Is there anyone that since you said that you want to add to the list?
People who sit next to you on public transport when there's other places to sit. What are you doing? Like, don't sit with me. I don't want to be anywhere near you.
Well, yeah.
Maybe they want to be near you.
No,
maybe they want to hear you doing some gibberish as you're working out
yeah,
how somewhere.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. It's intimidating. Go away.
I feel like people that do that are always just doing a social experiment to see how the other person reacts.
Or maybe you're invisible to them and they're just like, oh, sit here.
Yeah.
I hate it, though. It stresses me out. I'm like, what do you want?
Jen, they all seem to have come from you.
Yeah.
Any for you, Joel?
No, I'm actually a very tolerant person.
Yeah, I mean...
Joel doesn't like onions. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
First time I've had a band in telling me they've got a song out about onions. Is that what that's your motivation when you're playing that song?
No onions in my fridge, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right, okay, good.
You used to think, when I was saying Making Eyes, I was saying Onion Time. So that is a song about onions, kind of.
Yeah, going back to your old gibberish / diction.
Onion Time.
Yeah.
It's never onion time for Joel. Although he had a caramelised onion and he actually quite liked it. He's trying to keep it under wraps, but...
Yeah. They're winning me over slowly, year on year.
His sister is horrified by that. I told her she was not happy at all. They've got some family-wide beef with onions.
Your whole family has?
No, I think just me and my sister.
You and Holly. Okay.
I don't know what happened.
What's your mum doing with onions?
I don't know.
Yeah. It wasn't like
I can't
Christmas,
explain it.
You've been
Nicola?
Bad and there was no... Clementines around, so I just
onion.
Shoved an onion in your stocking.
Like Shelbyville with the lemons, but it's onions. You just gotta eat onions. Simpsons.
Now, I want to ask you about this new material, right? Because you're working with... Have you started working with him, or have you not worked with him yet? Or you've already done something with Christopher Harris.
Yeah.
Bear's Den, Belle and Sebastian, ghost poet as well. So have you already done some work with him?
Yeah, he did Mouth Breather.
Oh, great. So what's he bringing to the whole thing that you didn't have before? Like, is there something where you're like, oh, wow, he's really opened our eyes in this way, or there's something...
He calls Rob out for being drunk at the studio, which is good.
Yeah? Did he do that?
Well, Rob was like, oh, get it wrong. He was like, I'm doing it like this because of this. And he's like, are you sure it's not because you're pissed? And Rob was like, oh. That was good. I like that a lot. Rob told us he had 2 beers and we were counting them and it was like 9. And then he was like, I'll do my bass take now.
Sick. I feel like a lot of people could have done that job for you, though.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get him around for Christmas and say, start chewing.
No, he's good. He's really good. He has, like, he just has loads of good little ideas, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's very chilled. So it's like, you never feel too stressed. It's just like, why don't you try this? And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And he's quite quick to... if you do go down a path that's not working, he's quite quick to cut it off and go, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
And we quite like that because it's like, yeah, okay.
He's very
Let's
dry
try something else.
As well, which is funny. He's very funny.
Good work ethic. Like, he doesn't eat.
Oh, yeah, he literally doesn't eat.
We worked with him like 3 days straight and he didn't eat anything. Like, we kept like cooking stuff.
Maybe he's a robot.
He could be a robot. I wouldn't be surprised if he turned out to be a robot.
Yeah, like, Chris, do you want some food? Like, no. We've made this big chili, or like Harriet made some big chili for us. Like, no, don't eat while I'm working. And he just worked through, but he's maintained efficiency.
Mm. Went for a little, like 15-minute walk.
And has he got his own? Did you hire somewhere? Or, like, has he got his own place?
He works out of the same studio in Kent. Is it Squarehead?
Squarehead.
Yeah, Squarehead.
Whereabouts in Kent is it?
It is. Oh God,
it's Sittingbourne.
All right, near Maidstone-ish.
Yes, down there. About half hour down the road from where I grew up.
Ah, there you go. Where's that?
Not great, is it?
Yeah. It's all right.
Sittingbourne's not.
We're coming from Slough, so you know.
Well, yeah.
I went to uni in Chatham.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
I know. Me too.
What uni is that?
What Kent. Uni is
that? It's the University of Kent.
Okay, fine.
Turned up on day one expecting to be in Canterbury. They were like,
no.
Nah, mate.
Oh,
you're in Chatham.
They did that to me. I was at Greenwich Uni. And turn up in Eltham. That is not the same.
My sister lives in Eltham, so I know about that. Yeah. The Greenwich campus is so nice as well, isn't it?
It's like all the old naval buildings.
Yeah. Is it like Avery Hill or something?
Now? Yeah, that's right. Oh, those words just...
Sparrows?
Just sent me straight back there.
Sparrows is the bar, I think.
Yeah, see, now I never used to go to that bar because it was too far away. Do you know what I mean? You're like, oh, I'm not going to go out for a night out in Eltham. Yeah.
No.
They've got good pie and mash in Eltham, though.
Have they? Whereabouts?
I think they've got a Manses in Eltham.
Pie and mash.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weak spot. I haven't had it in ages, though.
Well, next time you're in London, come and see me. There's one around the corner from where I live. We'll go up Hoxton.
Pie and mash.
Hoxton Street. We're going to get pie and mash.
Yeah, the one in London Bridge, actually, went there, and it does vegetarian pies now, because I haven't been eating beef. And I was over the moon.
Can I ask you why?
Just slowly trying to cut out... meat.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I don't eat beef because I just really like cows. That's
part of it.
I eat chickens, I don't care about them.
Oh, that's what Dan said. Dan's like, he's completely cut out red meat and he's like, I literally hate chickens. He's like, I'm happy.
I hate them.
He hates them, doesn't he? He's like, I will eat a chicken.
I can see Dan like wringing a chicken.
Honestly,
snake.
There were some chickens at the studio once and they came in the studio and he was absolutely fuming. Do you remember? He was like, get them out. Like, he hates them. They're a mouth breather, chickens.
They don't have noses. Well, I suppose
they
do.
They've got beaks.
They're not breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their mouth is their nose. It's quite
the beak. Beak.
Mouth beaker.
Mouth beaker.
So, can I press you on when this magical new 2020 stuff is going to be?
No.
No, okay.
We don't know. We've got a big meeting next week. We're going to make our plan for 2020.
Okay.
We're very shambolic. To be honest with you.
Well, can you just like email us?
We'll email
I'll read it out like a news bulletin once you've the plan for 2020.
Yeah, we'll give you the highlights.
Yeah, and I'll read it out like a news bulletin on the show.
A little like Lizzo. No.
What?
Don't worry. Lizzo from like Newsbeat. There's Lizzo and then there's actual Lizzo. And then they were on the red carpet together and they called themselves the Lizettes.
Okay.
There you go.
Nice. Maybe me and you have got to do something, Joel, because we're only one letter away. Joel and Joey.
The Jizzos. Is that what you're thinking?
No, no. I mean, like, something to do with Joel and Joey, because we've basically got Joes in our name. I mean, my name is Joe. I've added the Y. For
we
the show
call
purposes,
him, like, Joe. Yeah. He doesn't like it.
My name.
Because my name's not Joe.
I know, but see, look how angry he is.
What's wrong with Joe?
Nothing's wrong with Joe, but I'm just not Joe.
Didn't we once have a mug at the studio as well, and it said Joe, and we were like, ah!
Yeah, and you proceeded to make me endless cups of tea out of it.
Out of the Joe mug, yeah.
I mean, thank goodness you'd already started working with Christopher, because I feel like he could have just gone, right, I'll ring these guys up and say, if I promise there'll be no chickens, no misspelt mugs, you'd have been like, yeah, where do I sign straight away?
Honestly, that's
you wouldn't
about
have to do
all
any work.
It takes to make us happy, really. we're very simple people.
Oh, well, it's been so much fun having you back in here. Oh, I know, Jen, you was on when I was away as well.
I was.
I didn't know about that, but
Ed
the dog.
Ed the dog.
Is he better than me? No, don't answer that. Okay. But, yeah, it's very nice to see you.
It's
and
nice
thanks
to see
for
you
nursing
too.
Me through my hangover in this
That's
last
okay.
half an hour.
You should eat gherkins. They sort hangovers out.
Do they?
For
I've
real.
I've got loads in my fridge.
Yeah,
obviously.
Well, you need to get rid of them.
Because when you're making burgers, you probably need two.
I would just eat them on their own. Yeah. They're like, I love them.
I mean, yeah,
send
yours if
way.
You want them.
Send them away.
Yeah.
Yeah, what time you got to head back to Slough? You want to pop around and get them on the way before you
get them on the way home. The I haven't even got a bag. I'll just be sitting there with my jar of gherkins, like, on the tube, like, hey, yeah.
Slurping them down.
So I will slurp them. Don't you worry about that. Mm.
Well, seriously, though, Mouth Breather is a really great song. I'm really pleased that you guys could come back in and see me. And, yeah, I'm glad it's all going really well. And I can't wait to see what you do.
We've got a show coming up. You should come.
When is it?
It's next Thursday.
Why isn't this on my stuff?
Dunno.
Okay. Well, yeah, can you please tell us about this?
It's on the, it's at the Lexington.
Yeah.
It's Hand in Hive's fifth birthday. So it's anyone who's like, when we started out, we were releasing stuff with them. So it's us, Wildest, and Swimming Tapes.
Oh, cool.
So, really, and it's for Calm, isn't it? All the proceeds. Yeah. Like, there's a donation on the door to Calm.
And that's Lexington
at
King's Cross.
Lexington King's Cross.
Yeah. 21st November. Hand in five.
Sweet.
Years.
And so I know it's like donation on the door. Can people get, like, make sure they can get in advance? Can you buy tickets?
Well, there were reservable tickets on Dice, but they've all gone. So you can go on the waiting list. However, with all of those things, if you just turn up you get, if you're early,
you'll
be fine.
Yeah, get there early. Bring a mug of soup. Get there on the front.
That's it. Bring some gherkins. Straight in.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's play Mouth Breather then. And then you guys can go on your merry way.
Thanks.
Thanks for having
us. No, it's nice to see you again. And,
it's nice to see you.
Yeah, I hope that's not been too shambolic. I suspect it has been. But this is Saltwater Sun and Mouth Breather, and how lovely it was to have them back in the studio.
Dispel your drivel with authority. List your objections to of me. Canonize those reviews and mirror yours. As for everybody else, we come on. It's true, some things are better left unsaid. When it comes to your opinion, sure. Better off dead. A right which you're entitled.
There we go. Fast for coming. Just nice people for me to hang out with. Joel and Jen, Saltwater Sun. That sounded brilliant as well. Mouth Breather. And I am pleased to announce that I am not on their list of things that annoy them, which is a rarity. I'm normally on someone's list for that sort of thing. We are hurtling towards the end of the show. And soon we're going to be doing my David Bowie record of the week. And I just want to say that I was dreading today's show because I felt so bad, but I've really enjoyed myself and I hope you've enjoyed listening to it. If you have enjoyed it, but you know somebody that hasn't ever heard the show, why don't you tell them about it? Because the more people that listen, the easier it is for me to bring you big juggernaut-y style guests onto the show. And I'm really proud of what we're doing here in like mixing up new artists and well-established artists. And I really want that to continue. And I obviously, I'm obsessed with world domination as well. So make sure that if you know someone that hasn't heard it before, or just if you know someone who's got like iffy music taste, do you know what I mean? If you tap your friend on the shoulder and they turn around, you go, "What are you listening to?" And they say, "I'm listening to the reimagining of Snow Patrol," what got relegated from the show the other week. You should say, "Look, I'm here to help. I'm going to subscribe you to 2 hours a week of listening to Joey Page. Within a month, you could be going to see cool bands together and we'll win that way." So that's what I think, right? So tell some people if you haven't. We can save the world from bad music choices together here on the Joey Page Show. I'm going to play some more new music before our David Bowie record of the week. This is the Goa Express, and this is called The Day. And this was recorded at Fat White Family's studio with Nathan from Fat White Family. And it's just something that, this is exactly what I'm talking about when I introduce you to new stuff. Just something I heard while I was trawling through the internet and I really liked it. And I'm excited to bring this to you. This is The Goa Express and The Day. That is something that is very nice. That is the Goa Express and The Day. And that exactly sums up this show. Great, brilliant piece of music that you've not heard being brought to you. I hope you enjoyed that. I have really enjoyed having that in my ears this week. Now, it's time for the David Bowie record of the week. And it doesn't take a genius to work out what it's going to be ahead of time. I've been in Berlin. I've been wandering around Berlin. I've been listening to this in Berlin, pretending I'm David Bowie in Berlin. It is, of course, Where Are We Now by David Bowie. And what a lovely piece of music. If you've never given this the time of day, then I implore you to do so and listen to it properly, because it's really great. Thank you for listening to the show. Thanks to all my guests today. Thanks to Will and Abby through the glass for helping me out. And thanks to Craig, especially for the flying vinyl package that he's given me. I'm going to go home and listen to that. And that's it for now. This is David Bowie, and Where Are We Now? I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Had to get the train from Potsdamer Platz. You never knew that I could do that. Just walking the day. Sitting in the jungle, remember the stars. A man lost in time near Cardiff, just walking the dead. Thousand people, crossbars and book, fingers are crossed just in case, walking the dead.
Slow.